Blog Talk Radio.
Although you soar like an eagle and make your nest among the stars,
from there I will bring you down.
That's right. This is not a test. It's the
real thing.
My name is Jason Dias alongside
Kiki Culpepper.
Two generations with
one mission.
And this is the ChristCast 2020.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Got some great news this week. We're going to have a lot of Schlitterbahn season passes to give away. We'll give you more information about that next week. Got a nice reply from the folks at St. Monica. Said they listened to the show, exact words. And they loved it and shared it with other people. So
that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. So we're talking about the book of Obadiah today. Okay. It is the shortest book. In fact, now that we did the intro, you're almost halfway through the book of Obadiah. I mean, it's like a magazine article. It's not even really a whole book. But it is a book of the Bible, an important one. We're talking about where we are in the Bible. Actually, no one really knows. The best we can tell is about 850 years before Christ, which would make Obadiah, if we could figure out who he was, a contemporary of Elijah or Jeremiah. But most of all, it's about where we all still are sometimes, dealing with the self-destructive power of pride.
Ooh, that's a major thing in our school. Okay, and the author is Obadiah. It's not like, Matthew wrote Peter or something. And the name that is mentioned 12 times in the other, he's mentioned 12 other times all throughout the Old Testament. But nobody really knows who Obadiah is.
It's like that old game show. The real Obadiah, please stand up. We're going to be talking about the book of Obadiah today. But before, to really understand the book of Obadiah, we got to go back to the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Because last week, Amos talked about the way people treat one another. The book of Obadiah is singularly about the condemnation of the country of Edom. And it all starts back in the book of Genesis. If you recall, Isaac and Rebekah had twins, Esau and Jacob, and of course,
Jacob is the father of 12 sons who had the 12 tribes of Israel, and so on and so on.
So a very important guy. So you had these two twin brothers. Esau was born first, and then Jacob came. But Esau sold his birthright to his younger brother, Jacob, even though they were twins, for a bowl of soup, which seems odd.
But it was a good hearty soup.
Yeah, it must have been a really good soup. But there is bitter enmity between them. There is a conflict between them.
Yes.
And even though they're brothers, fraternal twins. And we continue to hear about the Edomites. They're mentioned more by name as enemies of God's people than any other group of people in the Bible. And of course,
as King Herod rises to power, he tries to kill Jesus once and for all back in the book of Matthew in the New Testament.
That's right. That'll be our first show next year. Well, later this year. This year when we start your senior year. I know. Not about who or where. It's about the character. Edom is not there anymore. Edom disappears from all historical records after the Romans sack Jerusalem about 70 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it's the character. There's something about the Edomites. Not only did they not let Moses and the Jews pass through Edom on their way to the promised land, whenever the Jews are getting beaten in battle, it's what we would call piling on today. They always show up at the wrong time, and they're always doing this.
They're always attacking the weakest, most vulnerable tribe or vulnerable country,
right,
which happens to be pretty much always the Israelites.
Yeah, when they're at their weakest, and when they're being invaded, when they're fleeing from invaders, that's when the Edomites decide, hey, it's time to go in there and mess with these guys.
It's kind of a good strategy, though.
Yeah, well, it's a good battle strategy, but attacking God's people is a bad life strategy.
True,
And the Edomites figure that out. You heard us in the opening say, from where you soar like an eagle, that's because the Edomites made their homes in these cave dwellings in what is today modern-day Jordan, which is not really an outspoken enemy of Israel. So it's not really about who or where. It's about this character of attacking God's people when they're at their weakest. And of course, like we said, you can find Christ in Obadiah. King Herod Antipas is an Edomite, and he tries to get rid of the Messiah, like we said, once and for all in the book of Matthew when he does this.
He orders death to baby boys in Bethlehem to be slaughtered and murdered if they're under the age of two, because he doesn't want to risk having the Messiah rise up against him. He's thinking it's a king that has battle power and strength, but he doesn't know it's a spiritual king.
And it's kind of interesting that Herod Antipas is one of the few guys that sees all the clues and says, hey, wait a minute, this guy could be the real Messiah.
He's one of the few.
And good for Jesus, he and his parents have fled to Egypt to fulfill that great prophecy that out of Egypt I will call the king who will rule over Judah. And that's another thing, going all the way back to the book of Genesis, Jacob is the one, when naming his 12 sons, says the scepter will not depart from Judah. Judah is still there. Edom is not. Hey, listen, I know your generation and even my generation, you hear a lot about diversity and inclusion, and that's great. However, in the context of God,
there's only one God. There's only one God that can save you. There might be multiple God names out there, but there's only one true God that can save you from everything.
That's right. And like I said, this book is about the destructive power of pride. And I got to tell you, I can't think of anything more prideful in an American city last week. The New York State Legislature said that even if a woman goes in to have an abortion and the baby is born by mistake, that baby can still be put to death legally in an American state.
I really don't think it's going to stand long.
I hope not. As someone who's laid next to a pregnant woman and seen the elbows and the knees moving around in the womb, that's a life. I mean, you are probably in there getting ready for your soccer games and stuff like that. And congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
Big soccer win, beating an undefeated team. That's pretty awesome. But that's prideful. I think it's prideful when you take it upon yourself to say that you can end a life that God has created. And I agree with you. I think it's terrible. And so when you see that kind of pride, taking from the world what God has placed into it, that's why God says, and that's why the book of Obadiah says, that although you soar like an eagle and make your nest among the stars,
from there I will bring you down.
Yeah. And I have to check myself a lot when it comes to pride, as you know, because you checked me for it before.
That's why he gets punched.
Yes, that's true. I've got a lot of permanent bruises on my right bicep because of it. And my name is Jason Dias, alongside
Kiki Culpepper.
And to God be the
glory. Practice runs in life.